Hey gang, and welcome to the Meddling Kids Podcast, a review of all things Scooby-Doo. I'm still trying to figure out how anyone survived this episode. I'm Stephen Pappas.
I love this episode, and I'm Julie Kinn. I'm so excited to talk about episode 15 of Scooby-Doo. Where are you? Go away, ghost ship.
Woo!
Yay!
Go away, ghost ship. Yes.
The end. I thought Stephen was going to say something, but he didn't. Well, if this is your first time listening, what we're going to do is give a quick review of the episode, pointing out all of the most exciting features, and we'll take breaks in there to talk about other podcasts we love, and also to dive into some of the more troubling details of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
I would like to put quotations around the word quick.
Okay, fair enough. Not quick. It depends. Well, there was a lot of plot in this episode. Maybe to make up for Kooky Spaceship or Kooky Space Kook. I don't remember what that was.
Oh, yeah.
Called.
There were no details in that.
There were no details in that one. And Stephen was tired and I was barely alive. So this episode reminded me of why I love Scooby-Doo so much. There was almost everything I love in Scooby-Doo in this app. There was lots of dog antics, a weird villain, crazy traps, manacles, and unfortunately, we still have not heard the line for which our podcast is named,
nope.
Meddling Kids.
I was really thinking this might be the one.
I know. You would have gotten away with it. We know it exists. We just haven't gotten there yet.
We've only got two episodes left until the end of the season.
I know. That's another thing I'd like to talk about at the end of this is, what are we going to do to celebrate the end of this first season or to like mark it somehow? We got to do something. So think about that while we're recording today, okay?
Gotcha.
Stephen, would you like me to start describing this episode?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, before I get into it, it was really weird for me because I've been watching this first season again, and I've seen all these episodes when I was a kid, and probably multiple times, and every time I don't remember the episode as I'm going through it. So this episode, listeners might remember, I accidentally watched a couple of weeks ago because I got confused about the order. And so I rewatched it again this morning just to kind of freshen my memory, even though I just watched it 2 weeks ago with my kids and took copious amounts of notes. Kids, I had no idea. Like, when I was watching it again, I didn't remember anything. Like, between these last 2 weeks, I had complete amnesia about this episode.
To be fair, you were on a lot of cough syrup when you watched it the first time.
Okay, that's actually true. Yeah, I was on cough syrup with codeine in it. And due to my low tolerance to all, I guess, exciting things, it really affected me quite a bit. So yeah, maybe I was just a little high on the good stuff. Okay, fair enough. Well, this episode, I was excited to watch again because there were so many good details. If I start going too deep into the details, Stephen, just stop me, okay?
Never.
All right. We start with foggy water and we see a captain on a freighter looking at through binoculars at a pirate ship.
Oh.
And it looks kind of like the pirate ship in Goonies. It's all ragged and giant, and it looks amazing.
There's so many Goonies references in this podcast, and I've never seen Goonies. I'm so confused.
Maybe that's what we do for our first the end of season one is we do a Goonies recap, because someone else pointed out on Twitter that people referred to the Goonies as Meddling Kids, too.
Huh.
Consider it. We'll come back to it. And okay. Listeners weigh in on what you want us to do for the end of first season. Okay. So then the captain says, it's the ghost of Redbeard, which I'm not exactly sure how he knew that, but, you know.
Sure.
So far, we haven't actually seen the ghost of Redbeard do anything illegal except laugh really loudly. I mean, it's one of those loud laughs that like people sometimes do in public where you're like, I get it. You're having a better time than me. Okay, chill out, dude.
Right. And it's clearly nighttime. I'm wondering if it was after quiet hours and he was really violating that rule. But aside from that, nothing wrong.
Yeah. No, but that's a good point about the quiet hours, because I believe the captain on the freighter was he in military uniform? Was it a military ship?
I don't think so, no. He was just in like a long blue, like, whatever captains wear.
You're right. It is. He was private sector, because we find out later that freighter belonged to Mr. Magnus.
Ah, yes. Mr. Magnus Burnsides.
We totally have the same frame of reference. Yeah, we that do. Was a little hats off to the Adventure Zone podcast, which we both love. Okay, so change of scenery. The kids are at the malt shop. And Stephen, this morning, I noticed a really sweet detail. Did you notice what was in Fred's cup?
I'm assuming bourbon, just going off of what I know about Fred, but I don't know.
I hope not, because Fred was sharing his cup with Scooby, and he had two straws.
Oh.
There were cups in front of everyone except for Scooby, and Fred's cup had two straws. We didn't actually see Fred and Scooby do like a romantic drinking from the cup at the same time kind of thing, but I'd like to think that happened off camera.
Or maybe he drugged the milkshake and he just wanted Scooby to get double the amount.
That's possible. That's very possible. I just got to say, lately, Fred hasn't been quite as, I don't know, ominous, I guess, his behaviors, except for a little bit later in this episode. But overall, Fred, I don't know, he's trying. I'll just say that. He's trying a little harder. Okay, so they're talking at the malt shop. Fred sees in the paper that the third freighter this week has been taken over. While all this dialogue is happening, Shaggy eats a giant sandwich, and Scooby tricks him into giving it to Scoop because it's like this huge sandwich, and Shaggy tries to tie it up with a string and uses Scooby's paw to like hold the string, and then Scooby snatches the sandwich and chomps it in one big gulp.
String and all.
String
so
and
all.
That's
gonna be fun later.
Oh yeah. Have you ever had a pet that ate string?
Yes. I think we all have.
Ugh. I do a lot of knitting, and I grew up in a house with knitting and crocheting, and yes. Okay. Anyway, children, if you have not yet experienced that, don't. All right. Anyway, so Fred says, why would a ghost pirate want revenge on that and a nice man like Mr. Magnus? Because I skipped some details. The article made it clear that all the freighters that have been attacked have been owned by this shipping magnate, Mr. Magnus, and that they keep being taken over by a ghost pirate, the ghost of Redbeard, who was alive some hundreds of years ago. Now, Daphne is such a capitalist here because she's like, why would anyone want to steal from that nice Mr. Magnus? Which it's like, okay, back to episode one and the trouble with the proletariat. It doesn't really matter how nice the bourgeois are. When they're making all the money, the poor want their peace. No?
Yes. That's
yes.
It's too early in the morning for me to be that smart.
I am just making up stuff. So I'm just using big words and hoping I sound smart because clearly I know nothing about that stuff. Okay. Anyway, the kids decide to visit the penthouse of Mr. C.L. Magnus. I love the butler who answers the door.
In my notes, I just wrote in all capitals, Lurch.
Oh, yeah. Can you describe him for us?
Well, he's Lurch. If you've never seen The Addams Family, or if you have, actually, it's just Lurch. Just a tall, like, pale, like, really, really bad haircut. Like, got the
hunchback.
Worst bangs ever. Oh, see, Lurch isn't hunchback, though. This guy's a little hunchback. That's true.
Lurch has a stoop. Oh, no, you're right. No, Lurch stands up straight.
Yeah, because he's so tall. I think this is, like, Lurch's, like, obnoxious kind of, like, a little more, I don't know, injury prone or having issues with his back. Back issue, Lurch. So I'm going to call him Lunch.
Okay, yeah, Lunch. I like that. And Lunch has a mostly kind of British accent, but it could have been just that, like, very upper class East Coast Connecticut accent, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's like, the master's not available to see you. The kind of accent. So it's hard to see. It's hard to say exactly. He definitely looks all villain. And he's a butler. So I have in my notes, I love this butler. He totally did it.
Oh, see, I wrote in my notes, I bet it's the mysterious Mr. Magnus.
Dude, how are you so much smarter than me in every single way? Okay, anyway.
What do you mean? I don't know who the ghost is until you tell me later.
Oh, right. Never mind. Okay. So the kids sneak into this penthouse because the butler's refusing to let them in. And they sneak in by pretending to be room service, which would probably stop me from letting them in because generally when you own a penthouse, there's not room service, I guess. I think that's a hotel kind of thing. But anyway, this butler was totally fooled by them.
Of course.
And they come in like one of those like old fashioned carts, you know, that they have in hotels. And Shaggy and Velma are dressed up like room service maids, I guess. I don't know what they're called. And everyone else is like inside the cart. And they fall down in front of C.L. Magnus.
The cart crashes and Magnus rushes in.
Yay, we got in two already. And so they say, we're here to help you if you believe it. And he entertains them. He's like, okay, tell me all about it. What's this shenanigan? And they explain that they're sleuths who love to help out and break and enter when possible. And so Mr. Magnus explains to them that 300 years ago, Magnus's ancestors brought Redbeard to justice. So in other words, we're supposed to assume they somehow assassinated Redbeard or captured him and hanged him or something. I came up with some gory details there. That wasn't in the episode. Now that Redbeard's ghost has returned, nothing can stop him. Velma says, ghosts are our specialty. And Fred is so happy for this. He's like, I've got a plan that will work. And Stephen, I need to come up with a synonym for the word horny that I can say, because I don't want to just keep saying Fred is super horny for this adventure, because that's going to get boring and repetitive. So if anyone
that
has...
makes me so sad, because he was very horny boy.
He was really horny for this one. Okay, am I allowed to keep saying that, even though this is like a not explicit...
It's not a bad word.
Okay, all right, all right. Okay, fair enough. I guess my judgment is always, is this something I would say in front of my kids? And, but you're right. iTunes explicit warning is for much worse words. Okay, so you're right. It's not a bad word. Well, Fred is definitely hungry for this one. We could say that. For it too. Okay, so he is super excited. As soon as the word ghost came up, Fred is like, I'm in. Okay, so the kids go out on a boat to fool the ghost using one of Fred's patented amazing plans. Do you even remember this weird plan?
Yeah, so Fred decides if the ghost schedule is as it has been in the past, to which I argue, do ghosts have schedules?
Apparently they do.
Like, what? When is Redbeard just like, all right, I'm going to Thursday night at 7 p.m., I'm going to go and attack this freighter. And then at 8, just pirate shenanigans. And then 9 o'clock, I'm gonna eat a nice bowl of grits. Because who doesn't love some grits?
Washed down with grog.
There you go. Or oil. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
No, Fred decides they're going to ride out into the fog with just a loudspeaker attached to the front of this tiny powerboat that is just going like...
Also known as motorboats.
Motorboat is another
word. I like powerboat way better.
Powerboat. I think I was thinking speedboat.
Oh,
speedboat
yeah,
is
a
thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know boats. I hate the water. Anyway, so they go out and they decide they're going to fool him into thinking they're a freighter because... the size doesn't matter. It's all about that really intense just foghorn that they are blowing.
Yes. I snuck in a dirty joke that maybe you'll hear in editing later, and maybe you won't, and that's okay. I didn't use any bad words, so you could keep it in. Okay, so it didn't work. The big pirate ship smashes right into them, which I was shocked by, and I was shocked by it again this morning, because like I said, episode amnesia, because I was thinking, oh, there's no way this is a real pirate ship. It's got to be one of them Scooby-Doo projections, because, you know, in this series, anytime there's something really weird, it turns out it was just a projector. But no, it actually slices their powerboat in half. And so Scooby and Shaggy end up on one side of the boat, on the bow?
Sure, and the stern. That's the other one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I almost said the sternum.
on the starboard. And Fred, Daphne, I'm from Indiana, totally landlocked place, so I have a good excuse for this. Your state has water, but I guess you lived far away from
it. A lot of boats sink there, though. We are known as the graveyard of the Atlantic.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, they're all separated. So for like the next 15 minutes of the episode, the kids are engaged in separate shenanigans.
Can I just say though, were you concerned because they would die if this boat just like ran over them, essentially, in this tiny boat? They would all be dead. That's all I'm saying, because this is a real boat. Clearly Magnus has some great woodworking skills, and they would be dead.
Well, I don't know how that physics works. I mean, let's say it was going super duper slow. Would they?
I think they would still be like crushed.
Get like sucked underneath and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, because and my favorite part is, what do we do now? And Fred goes, sink.
Sink. Yeah, that was pretty awesome, actually.
Just like not even with any like emotion in his voice. Just like he's given in to the sweet embrace of death.
He's like, I've been waiting for this. I kind of knew it was happening. You can't be engaged in these antics without facing death daily. I didn't. I was right in the mindset of Scooby-Doo. I was like, we're only 5 minutes into this episode. I was not concerned for their welfare whatsoever. But
it's hard not to be in the mindset of Scooby-Doo when literally 5 minutes before this, Scooby cuts fog with a knife, literally.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because they're like, You could cut this fog with a knife. And he goes, huh, and just takes out this sketchy, like, filleting, boning knife that he keeps in his fur. And he just cuts a circle and then, like, looks through it. It's, I mean, I don't know what happened.
Sorry. You made me laugh too hard.
I broke Julie.
You broke me. But I'm back. Okay, well, they didn't die, which is really nice. By the way, at this point, my kids were, again, playing with the Daphne and Shaggy toys that our listener, David, sent us. So they were acting out all these scenes.
So was I, okay. Actually. I was...
Were you making your dog Ghost, like, pretend to be Scooby and moving his paws around and stuff?
No, I prefer if Ghost will just leave me alone. Usually, instead of go away, ghost ship, there's a lot of go away, ghost in my house.
Oh, like, it's just you're
a big boy. You got too much energy. Go away, ghost.
Well, to find out what happens, you're going to have to come back from commercial break.
Hey there, it's Chris from More Gooder Than, where we rate and dissect pop culture one argument at a time. I'm joined by my compadres, Corey Sasso.
What it is, home trees.
And Donnie the Big D Carr.
Que mas?
For those of you that would be joining us for the first time, Corey, Donnie, and I each take the side of some piece of pop culture and try and sway the world to agree with our opinions on which one is most goodest, with a 100% money-back guarantee to entertain you in the process. So we've done which is goodest out of the Indiana Jones trilogy.
We've also covered the twin film phenomenon like Armageddon and Deep Impact.
We've also compared and contrasted excellent Bill Paxton performances.
So if that's something that you guys like to enjoy, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and our website, mgtpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, at mgtpodcast. Thanks, and check us out.
Okay, did you come back? Yay! Let's find out what happened. Okay. So the kids decide that they only have one potential thing that they can do here. They certainly can't swim to shore, so instead they all board the ghost ship, which you know is what they really wanted to do anyway from the very beginning. So because Shaggy and Scooby were on one side, the other kids were on the other, they're all like separated. So they climb on. Shaggy sees a painting of Redbeard. Scooby draws some glasses on the painting, which is pretty funny, but it turns out it really was Redbeard. It wasn't a painting at all. I'm sure that shocked you.
No, I was more surprised that Scooby was vandalizing property.
Yeah, that was pretty illegal. What's it called when you, like, sneak onto a ship and you, like, sneak there to get free passage? It's not
a felony.
No.
No, you know it's called stowaway, being a
stowaway. Thank you. Okay, so they're all these kids are pretty much stowaways at this point. Okay, then there's a big chase scene. And so the ghost is chasing them. But then a saber is chasing them, too. And it's like a ghost saber moving all around, sentient. And like a heat-seeking missile. And it looks super scary. And the three pirates corner Shaggy and Scooby. It's Redbeard and two very large, menacing-looking sidekicks. With lots of earrings, by the way. Their jewelry was on fleek. Do people still say that? I'm 40.
I don't know. I mean, I'm 27 and I don't know. I don't think I've ever said on fleek. I'll tell you what I do know, though. And that's swords are dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's just like swiping at his tail, Scooby's tail, or Shaggy's tail, depending on what your fanfic of this is. But just like it's going through doors and like about to impale them. Like I was really concerned throughout this whole thing of like someone is going to die.
Yeah, no, it was legit scary. There.
There's more danger in this episode than in most Scooby episodes.
Yeah. And again, this was not a projection. This was not a balloon because we saw the sword like cut into stuff. So yeah, the children I was watching with were quite concerned for their beloved doggy Scoob. So now the other kids see Redbeard and follow him. Velma finds some huge tubs of dry ice. Have you ever played with dry ice?
I mean, sometimes, not much, because it's extremely dangerous.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you should not mess with dry ice. Like, if you, like, put dry ice, we used to, like... Okay, so this sounds weird and super rednecky of me. You take like a 2-liter soda bottle and put a little water in it, throw some dry ice in there, and then put the cap on real fast and throw it. It explodes like a grenade. And so that is about the equivalent of me playing with dry ice. That or I went to a Harry Potter themed like science night at the local science place.
Yeah.
And they like froze popcorn with liquid nitrogen and dry ice and stuff. And so when you ate the popcorn, you blew out smoke like dragon's breath.
That is awesome. I would love to do that. Yeah, when I was a kid, one of my friend's dads was a chemist and we would go to his lab and he would sometimes let us play with dry ice and water and do experiments.
Yes, it's very dangerous.
My anecdote from childhood was like the exact opposite of yours, but still involved dry ice.
I was going to say mine was a little more, let's just face it. I was a like 8-year-old boy who thought it'd be cool to watch something go boom. So
I love it. Okay. So the kids are like, what could these tubs of dry ice be here for? And then they get locked in. Now, meanwhile, Redbeard is negotiating with Shaggy and Scooby because he found these stowaways and he's like, what am I supposed to do with you? I'm going to throw you overboard or slit your throats or something unless you can work for your passage. And the kids are like, yeah, we can cook. And I'm totally on Redbeard's side here. If I found some folks who were just lollygagging on my boat, you know, expecting a free meal and free passage, no way. Got to work for your stuff. Otherwise, you got to get off.
I was really concerned you were going to say that you would slit their throats.
Oh, no. I'm not up with the throat slitting. I think there he was speaking euphemistically. I think what he meant was he would call their parents.
Oh, okay. Because there was a lot of throat slitting talking going
on. Yeah,
talking, just gesturing.
Just gestures. Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of throat slitting, I will say. But I am a big fan of working for your passage. You know, if you're not going to buy a ticket. So they offer to make some pirate stew. And they go into a fancy kitchen. Nope, wrong. It's not fancy kitchen. I had the word fancy next to the other two pirates. I wrote other two pirates, very fancy and colorful and buff. I was in a fun mood while writing these.
You're
I was
really
very
into
excited.
These pirates.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look at them.
Well, this is the first time that you've, other than the creepy Uncle John.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time you've been attracted to a human being and not been like, look how hot this dog is.
Okay, that dog was exceptional. But these two pirates, I'm just saying, you know, keep an open mind. They look like they know a thing or two. Anyway, so they make a disgusting pirate soup. They put chains and ashes and cobwebs and soap in it because they're like, oh, this is a ghost pirate. Ghosts don't want good food. They want this disgusting blech stuff. Yeah. So Redbeard tells them to eat it instead, and they do. And it totally saves the day because all that soap makes them breathe bubbles, and they blow so many bubbles that they escape.
I don't think I've ever, okay, I've blown a lot of bubbles in my time. I don't think I've ever blown enough bubbles that, like, if I blew them at somebody, they'd be like, oh, God, oh, I can't see, oh, no, like, oh, what do I do? Oh.
You need to eat soap soup.
I ate a lot of soap as a kid because I had a sailor's mouth.
Did your parents really wash your mouth out with soap?
Yeah, and well, a few times. And not just bar soap like you see in like Christmas Story. No. Liquid hand soap.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents were very sweet, by the way. They did not like harm me in any way. But it did teach me to be very careful where I cursed.
So it did work. Do you think that stopped you?
It didn't stop me. I just didn't do it around them.
Yes. That's the thing, right? It's like, know your audience. Right.
Although,
time,
children,
right,
you should just never curse. That's the answer. None of us do. I don't.
I'm a fully grown man,
and I've never said a bad word.
Ever. No. By the way, for Station Wagon podcast fans, you might want to listen to, I think it was our second episode. So episode 2, way at the beginning, Mark and I, my brother, tried to give up cursing for 2 weeks. And we donated 25 cents to our local women and children's shelter every time we did curse. And I think we ended up making a donation of like 30 some dollars.
My donation would be significantly larger. in fact, it would probably be an amount that I don't have because just when I'm not here, boys and girls,
you're just cursing.
It's bad. Yeah. That's what I do. Basically, I sit behind a microphone and I curse. And people like it. I don't know.
Surprising there's a market for that.
That's not true, by the way. If you listen to Is This Adulting, that is not what that is. For people who are not listening going like, oh, is that what his other podcast is? No, thank you.
No, it's totally family friendly. Okay. Well, so let's see. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So those two really sexy pirates are... what?
They're not sexy pirates.
Look, when you're in a drought, a raindrop looks like a tall glass of water. Let's just say that, okay?
All right.
The two sexy pirates come over, and Shaggy uses an origami pirate hat and his well-known ventriloquism skills to imitate Redbeard's laugh and make a shadow and impersonate Redbeard. And he tells these dudes that Shaggy and Scooby went the other way. So now they are free to go do their own thing. So they're hiding under a barrel on deck. It doesn't really make any sense. But they accidentally fall off the gangplank. And they're still in this barrel now floating in the water. The big kids are still locked in the ship. And they look out through those portholes. And they say, Shaggy, Scooby, save us, save us. And there's one of those dumb moments where Velma's like, Shaggy. And Shaggy says, Scooby, your voice changed.
Yeah. That one didn't land for me.
I was like, Steven's not going to like that. Even though my kids snickered, they thought that was pretty funny, which just reminds us, oh, yeah, part of the reason why these don't land for us is because we're grown-ups, and this is a show for children.
Says you.
Okay, fair. That's true. There are a lot of sexy pirates in here for this to be a children's show.
No, they're not.
And more nuance later. There's a really dirty joke in the show later.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Okay, it might have only been dirty to my mind, because again, the whole drought thing, but still.
I'm going to need you to elaborate on that later.
Oh, I will. I even took a picture of it to post on Twitter and Facebook for everybody. Okay, so they fall off the gangplank. They're like, don't worry, we'll save you. So Shaggy and Scooby are following the ship in their little barrel, paddling as hard as their paws and human hands can, and the ship goes through this like secret cove on Ghost Island, which is shaped like a skull. So it's really surprising kids don't go there to make out.
Yeah, it's essentially Isla de Muerta from the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Like, that's exactly what you never saw. Okay. All right. You don't need to waste your time with the other Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but the first one is fantastic.
Maybe we should watch that instead of Goonies.
Maybe, because from what I've heard, it holds up better.
Oh, really? And I believe there's a certain sexy pirate in it. So
there is. You'll be thrilled. There are multiple sexy pirates in it. And Woo! Then there's also Jeffrey Rush.
I don't know who that is. Yeah, Goonies does not have a lot of sexy characters. All right. So a weird thing happens. Do you remember the fake shark?
Yeah, I don't understand what that was about.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it was like some reference to something happening in 1969. But okay. So Shaggy and Scooby are paddling along. And all of a sudden we see a shark fin go right next to Scoob. And Scoob is scared. And he pulls the shark fin up. And it's like an empty fin that theoretically could have been attached to somebody, like a cone or something. And he's like, oh, okay, well, that's safe. And he just puts it back in the water. But we don't see like a fish come up and like shake his fist at Scooby angrily, like, hey, what are you doing with my fin? I mean, it was just some random shark fin.
I think it's part of an ongoing theory that I've created that sharks don't exist.
Oh, This is fascinating.
I went to the aquarium this past weekend when I was in Charleston, and they tried to show me sharks, and I was like, nay, it is all an illusion. And I stood up during the presentation and I pointed at the children. I said, children, do not believe their lies.
You know, Stephen, I can back you up. I swam almost every single day this summer in our local body of water called Ken Lake, and I didn't see a single shark.
Mm-hmm. Every time I've been in a swimming pool, no sharks. Mm-hmm. Where are the sharks at? I've been led to believe that sharks are everywhere, but I have not seen them. Also, if you're listening and you have been affected by a shark bite or a shark attack, sorry.
Yeah, please let us know so that we can make light of your injuries.
Yeah, well,
we'll treat it really sensitively.
More so, we need to just know, are sharks real?
Are sharks? Have you ever seen a shark? And if so, what was his name? And if you don't know that shark's name, I don't believe you.
I mean, I'm not just talking about sharks. Again, at an aquarium, they're clearly projections where they're trying to convince you that these sharks are real.
Or blow up balloons.
They allowed my wife to touch something called a baby tiger nurse spotted dolphin shark. I don't know.
Totally
something
made
like
up.
That.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, there were like 8 of them and they were like dancing up out of the water. I'm like, that's not real. No, that's not what. No. That's just a fish that you painted with spots. That's a catfish. That's a big old catfish.
Big old catfish. Yeah, like, have you heard of these mermaid attractions in tourist spots?
No.
It's just catfish dressed up like humans, dressed up like mermaids.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, it's a thing. I'll post a link.
No,
anyway.
No, I don't. That doesn't sound like something I want to see.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, so Redbeard finds all the human children inside his cove as they follow him, because, of course, they're not stealthy at all. And he's like, you are all going to join my crew, which, again, I thought it's quite charitable of him. Here are these children trespassing and stowing awaying, and he doesn't kill them. He just lets them work for him. And it seems like it's a pretty sweet deal working for him. You get lots of good jewelry and stuff based on the sexy pirates. So the kids are all in manacles, and Fred is totally at home with the situation.
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah, it's just, you know, level 2C manacles. All we need is some bubble gum and straws, and I can get the key. And so he uses straws and chewing gum to get the key from far away and unlocks everybody. And then he probably stuffs the manacles and key into a sack to save for later to use in his home dungeon, knowing Fred. And the kids escape. But there's 4 tunnels, and they don't know which way to go. Shaggy and Scooby aren't there yet. It's just the others. So I like Velma's thing. We'll take Mo. The others are like, what? She says, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And so they do. And then they get surprised by Scooby and Shaggy, who had been following them the whole time. Velma sees that Shaggy is still wearing this origami sailor hat, and she wants him to get rid of that hat. But Fred looks at it closely and realizes it's the ship's manifest, including a listing of all the cargo. But it's a manifest for a ship that has not yet sailed. It's going to be going tomorrow on January 10th. Now, what does that tell you, Stephen, that all this was taking place January 9th?
I don't know. I must have blacked out for most of this because I'm like, what is she talking about? Bubble gum and key and straws. And
there's a lot of plot. Okay, well, let me tell you 2 things. First of all, January 9th is my dad's birthday. So that's one thing. Hi, Mort. Anyway, and he's going to be 82 this year. So 1969, I don't know. I can't do math that fast. Anyway, also, January 9th, they're all like in the water and not shivering and stuff. So this is definitely happening in a tropical place.
I don't know. This blows the Athens, Georgia thing up again.
Maybe. Or it's, I mean, Georgia's southern. I mean,
it's hot. I mean, it's hot down there.
It's hot. It's hot in January.
There's a reason they call Atlanta Hotlanta.
Yeah, that is. There is a reason. Because of all the sexy pirates and because it's hot on January 9th. Okay, so the kids find some tire tracks. This is mysterious. And they lead to a pirate chest. And it's stuffed full of weird stuff. I've got a weird note that I don't understand. So maybe I was high or drunk or something. It says stuffed full of truck. I don't really get it. Oh, all right. Okay. Because the tire tracks lead to this pirate chest. So I'm right. Like, how does that happen? Okay. Anyway, they open the pirate chest and the weirdest skull ever pops out. It's a skull on like a huge, like 6 foot long neck of bones. Like it doesn't make any sense. And it asks for them the password. And inside the skull is like a microphone and speaker. And it's voice automated. So there's not a human at the other end of the speaker. It's just, making sure the voice matches, which is pretty advanced technology for 1969. So I'm proud of the show. Anyway, they try all sorts of different passwords until they figure out the right one. And do you remember what it was?
Something about liverwurst a la mode.
Yep. Yum, yum, yum. And a liverwurst a la mode. Steven, what is liverwurst?
I honestly don't know. I know it's gross. It is like a cold cut that is made with liver, maybe, or maybe it's just called liverwurst. I don't know.
I have no idea either.
I put it in that same like level as like head cheese and like pimento loaf.
Totally, right? Like food that people used to eat at some point because they had to. I'm guessing it's like something that you put up for the winter and like you put it up in the like fall harvest. You can eat it in like January before there was refrigeration or something. Like, I have no idea, but something that nowadays that we don't have to eat it, we're certainly not gonna. I don't know. But apparently it was a delicacy to the writers because it's in almost every episode. Anyway.
Well, liverwurst, actually, just so you know.
Yes.
It's an Anglicization
of
the German Leberwurst, meaning liver sausage. It is also known as liver sausage by some English speakers. It is a sausage eaten in North America, in large parts of Europe, including Austria. Oh, they name like every country in Europe. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But it's essentially a sausage made of liver.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, sure. Use every part of the beast.
It is customarily served on open sandwiches with mustard and pickled cucumber.
And ice cream.
Just a pickle.
Pickled cucumber.
It's just a pickle.
Just a pickle. Okay, now we know. Excellent. Thank you. All right. So I'm sure it's probably pretty healthy. I mean, there's probably a lot of salt in it, but liver's good for you, right?
I would argue that eating any organs is not good for you, but maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not an organ eater.
Okay, yeah, nor am I. Well, we will get back to this liverwurst issue. With the dirty joke later. Okay, so there is a secret entrance, and there's tons of stolen cargo there. But there's also a chase scene, because when they go in the secret entrance, they find Redbeard and the sexy pirates. An iron door slams down, and the kids are trapped. They hide behind crates, but that sentient ghost sword finds them again. And, I need to write a note later to get back to sword. Because I do not want to forget to return to this. Okay, so it's the ghost sword again. And Shaggy and Scooby hide in a crate while the sword tries to get them. But the crate is full of something amazing.
How? Remember? How is this possible?
That it's full of Scooby snacks?
Yes. So I think we've now proven that Scooby snacks is just a brand. And it's not something that they make.
Right. It's not something that they make. It's a brand. Okay. Well, in my family, we always called milk bones yummies because we're not going to say to the dog, hey, want a milk bone? We say, hey, want a yummy? And so no matter what the treat is, we call it yummy.
Maybe, I usually just say, hey, dog food.
Oh, okay. That works too. So it's more fun to shout really loud when your dog escapes, want a yummy? No. Okay. Anyway, I always heard good advice for when you're naming a dog, make sure it's something that if you're shouting at the top of your lungs, doesn't make you look like an idiot.
I'm like, yeah, I had a dog named Sarabi, which was named after Simba's mother in The Lion King. Yeah. And my dad forcibly changed it to Robbie because he's like, I am not wandering around the neighborhood screaming, Sarabi, Sarabi.
Exactly. Your dad was a wise man. So maybe this just Scooby Snacks is what they call any kind of dog treat. Maybe?
I would assume so.
Okay.
But why would Shaggy eat them? I don't know.
Okay, fair. All right. So both Shaggy and Scooby chomp down a ton of those Scooby Snacks, and it gives them strength like spinach to Popeye. And they're able to burst through the ceiling and avoid the sentient sword that had come in to slay them. And then the big dirty joke comes. Shaggy gets a big bin open and he looks in and all that's in there are big long tubes of a liverwurst, which I guess is like sausage. And he picks it up and says something like, maybe this nightstick will do the trick.
How is this filthy?
Just let it sit.
Okay. I mean, I was just thinking like a nightstick, like a beat stick, like that, like constables use.
Yeah, drought. Anyway, I'm not going to explain it. So I'll just say sometimes the nightstick does do the trick. All right.
Oh,
so
goodness.
They eat lots of stuff in the crates. Other kids trap the sidekick pirates, the sexy pirates, using bows and arrows made from plungers.
This is not how plungers work.
Apparently, you are wrong. If you shoot a plunger at the tushy of a sexy pirate, it sticks right to said tushy and then is strong enough to lift them up into the air like a couple of sexy piñatas.
No, it's not.
Yep. And meanwhile, Scooby and Shaggy use an egg beater to tickle Redbeard and save themselves.
Run away. And when they run away, the egg beater stays in place and keeps tickling him. And that's not how egg beaters work.
And it makes him laugh quite a bit. Redbeard really enjoyed this. So then they go on an automated pogo stick is what they call it. But really, it's just a jackhammer because, like, Shaggy always mistakes what objects are.
And it rides up the wall and onto the ceiling because that's not how jackhammers work.
You're wrong. And they fall down because of gravity, I guess. And they fall right on the ghost. And
that
somehow
is how gravity works.
That is how gravity works. And somehow the ghost pirate, the sexy pirate, Shaggy and Scooby all get trapped in tires. I don't actually remember how that happened.
I don't really either. Because when they fall on him, he ends up on the jackhammer too, and they like crash into a bunch of tires.
And I guess the sexy pirates, the hold on their tushies from the plungers gave out and they dropped.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. So they're trapped. I'm supposing the kids freed Shaggy and Scooby because the next thing we know, the kids are being congratulated by the U.S. Coast Guard. And I just got to say, I'm really glad it was the U.S. Coast Guard because our U.S. Coast Guard is an amazing force and it's really often overlooked. I don't think folks realize all the fantastic things the U.S. Coast Guard does. I've gotten to work with some guardsmen before and they're just phenomenal and they're so multi-talented and they're able to do a whole lot of things, including, like tactical deployments, but also search and rescues for civilians, and they really never know what they're going to come across, and they're just wonderful, wonderful people who are the kind of folks who could be making a lot more money in the private sector doing the same kind of things, but they decided to give their lives for the United States and do it for much less pay, but hopefully more glory, because we all really appreciate you, Coast Guard, if you're listening. Okay, off my soapbox. Anyway, The Coast Guard reveals it was Mr. Magnus when they take off Redbeard's mask. Mr. Magnus was about to lose his steamship line, and so he needed to get some fast cash. So he stole and then resold his own cargo.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Every time we see Mr. Magnus in this episode, he is wearing a red cloak. What is happening?
Maybe he really was 300 years old.
Oh my God, maybe he's
really
a lich.
Was Redbeard. And he's a lich and he's able to just continuously reapparating.
Okay, again, really, The Adventure Zone. Check it out. Yeah, great podcast.
Yeah, you do need to listen to about 300 hours of audio to get up to the point that we were just referring to. But
yes,
go
but
ahead
it's,
and do
it's
that right
wonderful
now.
Audio.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah, I've listened to it a couple times through now. Okay, also, dry ice mixed with water makes a real spooky fog. And then they show, and you see Scooby, like, cutting into the fog with his knife again that he carries in his fur and chomping it like a big old donut.
And he picks up the dry ice with his bare paws and puts it in the water, to which my last note for the episode is in all capitals, I'm just going to show you here on the webcam, in all capitals, you can't touch dry ice.
But what about if you have furry paws?
No, it's so dangerous. It's so cold. Okay, well, it can give you frostbite instantly.
Okay, well, Scoob, be careful. You only got four paws. Treat them right. Steven, what about the sword? We never found out how that sentient sword was working.
We did.
We did? How?
Yeah.
It was
on a wire.
Real life
they
sword?
Said it was on a wire.
Oh, it's on a wire. Oh, okay. All right.
It's always a wire.
It's always a wire. It's always a wire, a projection, or an RC balloon, apparently. And note, it was not the butler.
No, it was not the butler. I assumed one of the other pirates was going to be the butler, but he was
Yeah. Nope, they were hired goons, according to Daphne. All right, Steven, I made up our meddling question this week because it was one I posted on Facebook earlier,
okay.
Which is, what is your favorite gross sandwich? And I'll go first. You can think about it for a sec.
Okay.
I don't really have a favorite gross sandwich. My favorite weird sandwich is I make grilled cheese with apple slices in it. But when I was a kid, and I was a latchkey kid. My mom wouldn't like me saying that on the internet radio. But, you know, I was home alone and starving. So I was a starving child by myself. So I would find, like, cheese slices and cookies and sometimes make sandwiches out of that just to try it. And, like, whatever random ingredients that I liked, I would try in random weird combinations. And, of course, potato chips in every sandwich. What about you?
I've tried many a weird sandwich over my lifetime. I went through a phase where I liked to watch the Flintstones, and while watching the Flintstones, I always ate a bologna, lettuce, mayonnaise, and potato chip sandwich. That was my Flintstones eaten food.
Oh, that is so sweet.
And then, I got an idea from a children's show from my youth for a sandwich called a gooey gobbler.
Ooh.
And I definitely ate a peanut butter and turkey sandwich.
No way. You're like Elvis.
Yeah. And it, you know what? Not bad. Not bad at
really?
All.
Really?
And then some people would argue who don't live in the South that pimento cheese sandwiches are gross, but those people would be wrong.
What exactly is pimento cheese? I always thought that was like head cheese.
No, pimento cheese is amazing. Okay. So pimento cheese, staple of the South. Here I come, getting all Southern on you. Except without the racism. Pimento cheese is like shredded cheddar cheese.
Okay.
Right? And then you mix it with pimentos.
What is pimento exactly? Sorry.
Pimento is like...
peppers?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a little pickled pepper. It's the thing that's inside like a green olive, the little red thing.
Oh.
Those are pimentos. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly what a pimento is. I want to say it's like a little sliced pepper that's been kind of pickled.
Okay.
But you mix it with a few pimentos and maybe some spices, maybe a little jalapeno, and then just a crap ton of mayonnaise. And you turn it into like a spread.
That sounds really good.
And it's amazing on burgers and to dip celery in and just like the best. It will, I think if you eat it more than once in your life, you'll die.
Yeah.
Which
you're going to die eventually anyway.
Exactly. And you know, in the South, we would... most of us would argue, better to enjoy our food and live 30 years than to live 90 years and just eat nothing, but I don't know. What do 90-year-olds eat?
Tofu? I don't know.
I eat tofu. I love tofu.
Okay, I wasn't putting tofu on blast. I'm just
saying. Yeah, don't attack my tofu. I think my great grandmother.
No, I'm just saying that's something healthy and awesome.
My great grandmother lived to be 100, and her solution was every morning she took a shot of ouzo.
What?
And she swears up and down that that's what kept her to be 100 years old. Like, some people literally claim that they live to be so old because they drink a Dr. Pepper every day.
Yeah, my grandfather lived to be almost 100, and he would soak raisins in vodka and eat a couple of those a day.
Well, who hasn't soaked raisins in vodka?
Okay, so on the most recent episode of Is This Adulting, you and Chris referred to a snack that you had created that I would like to suggest we have a chomp along, meaning that our listeners and us prepare for this for our next episode and we all chomp this together and experiment, because I've never tried it, and it is 2 goldfish crackers and 1 mini marshmallow.
Yes. So, and you have to repeat it too. Like, it's not just a one-time deal. It's like, you know, you take your serving of goldfish, which is 55 goldfish, which may I suggest Pepperidge Farm. That's not many goldfish.
That's not a
good serving. And then you read the nutritional stuff and you realize goldfish are not good for you.
What? But they're just crackers. How could that not be good? That's wheat and cheese.
You would be surprised that one of those, you know, those little like mini pint cartons that they sell of goldfish? Yeah, one of those has like 12 grams of fat just in that little like pint. That's like a McDonald's cheeseburger.
No way.
It's not the same amount of saturated fat. But anyway, as I also said in the most recent episode of Is This Adulting, my wife and I ate one of those like gallon things in like 3 sittings. So I'm not like attacking goldfishes. I just think we all need to, like, let's be realistic about the serving size. One of those bags that they sell, like a regular size goldfish bag, that is a serving of goldfish.
Agreed. Okay, so are you up for a chomp along next week? Do you think you could, when we record next, have some marshmallows and goldfish on hand?
I could probably do that. Yeah, you're gonna need mini marshmallows, everybody, and not original, because original is actually like saltine, but cheddar goldfish.
I have flavor blasted cheddar and whole grain cheddar in my cabinet right now.
Whole grain cheddar will do.
Okay, good.
Because I do believe that whole grain cheddar is just as good.
Okay, and I will be using vegan marshmallows with no gelatin, but I think it should still be just as good.
Do they taste the same?
Yeah, they taste the same. Okay, oh, maybe I'll get both. Maybe I'll do 2 taste tests. I'm the only one in my family who's not vegetarian, so I can eat whatever I want, but
there you go.
And I was thinking I would have my kids do this taste test with me and record their reactions.
Okay, yeah, well, the answer is it's delicious, and everyone always doubts me, but then they realize how wonderful and good it is. And so, yeah, maybe that's – and you have to eat it like a sandwich. That's the other rule.
Oh, right.
You have to put the mini marshmallow between the 2 goldfish, and then you just throw it in your mouth and eat it.
Okay, I'm making a note to myself right now to post – a picture of this on Twitter and try to get, chomp along. All right. So listeners, we'll put reminders on Twitter and Facebook about this. Try to remember next episode, have your goldfish and marshmallows ready and we'll all have a snack together. I think Shaggy would be proud of us. I think it might not be quite gross enough for him, but he'd be all right with it.
You know what
we
need to do for the end of season 1?
Oh no, what?
We need to have a liverwurst a la mode sandwich.
God, I thought you were going to say that.
Taste testing moment.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it might have to happen.
Oh my gosh.
Listeners.
I so don't want to eat liverwurst.
Neither do I. Listeners, so you can just weigh in on whether or not you want that to happen. Please say no because I will die.
Oh my gosh. I seriously want you to edit that out. Okay, don't really. But
no, I'm putting it in. I'm putting everything in. Nothing gets edited out.
Oh, good. Even my nightstick joke. Excellent. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see. I think that that might do it for us. If you have a meddling kid or a meddling question, please email us at meddlingkidspodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at meddlingkidspod or connect with us on Facebook. You can also see pictures from this episode on Facebook and Twitter and join our conversation about what is your favorite gross sandwich.
Right. And thanks first off to you for joining us on the Meddling Kids podcast. Did you think I was talking to you, Julie?
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, you're so welcome.
Well, also to Julie for being way more detail-oriented than me and giving you the real description of the episode while I just ask questions about liverwurst.
And thanks to Steven for doing all the editing, which is the actual hard work.
Woo! That's the fun part. Also, thanks to Dave Seste for the use of the song Night Surfing as our theme music.
Be sure to check out our other shows. Like I mentioned, Is This Adulting is amazing. Not only do they have snack tips, they have advice on how to live a better life through laughing and friendship and weird food and hilarious things and also destigmatizing mental health. And I do the Station Wagon podcast with my brother. And speaking of Steven's comment about better to enjoy life a little bit than live to 1,000 years, we are giving up fried foods and food cooked in oil right now, and it's pretty torturous. So, spoiler alert.
Nope, never do that.
Yeah. Please feel free to rate us on iTunes and subscribe and tell all your friends, make everyone you know listen to this podcast and share our posts and stuff if you care to. You can always mail us. Our address is on our website, meddlingkidspod.com. Just click on contact. And we'll be back next time with episode 16. A night of fright is no delight. And also, Stephen, let's continue our discussion about how we should celebrate the end of season one. And maybe our listeners can weigh in on that.
Yes, I would like that very much. All right. So today, as Julie knows, been real busy. I feel bad. Like this week, I didn't get a lot done. I tried and I tried and I tried, but I didn't get much done. And so actually, while today I've been busy and I've been running around, I've been doing editing and recording, my co-host on my other show was sick this week. And so legitimately, I had a lot of spare time on my hands. And so I've watched each and every one of you. I've seen you. I've seen what you've done. And frankly, I'm disgusted. I mean, I'm talking to you, Doug. Come on, Doug. Anyway.
Doug. Yeah.
Just remember that thing you did, Doug. That horrible, gross thing you did.
Wasn't that bad.
No. Julie, I haven't told you. I'll tell you what Doug did off the air.
Okay.
But you would have gotten away with it if it weren't for us meddling kids.
Have a ghoulish day.
Ooh. I don't know why I do that at the end.
There was a ghost. That's all right. It's okay. I don't mind. You can have the last word or the last sound effect. But, see, Stephen, he's dying to say something. Okay, have a great day.